Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 782. It's the 22nd of May, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Steve Hughes, VP of Exploration at Asia Met Resources. ARS is ticker there. And Steve explains today's metallurgy results at their BKM project in Indonesia. We also discuss other things going on there. Plus, Rod McIlree, also on the podcast, CEO of Blue Jay Mining. That's J ticker, J-A-Y. And Rod comments on the recent study undertaken by the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland, which shows 700 million tons of ilmenite potentially occurring on the company's 68 square kilometre licence in Greenland. Some big figures coming out of that study. Unbelievable figures. Also, as of Monday, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, Malki, talks about the following stocks. Pantheon Resources, that's PANR, and also Far Energy, which is listed on the ASX in Australia under FAR ticker. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Steve Hughes, VP of Exploration at Asia Met Resources. Ticker there is ARS. Steve, thanks for coming on, fella.
Thanks a lot, Justin. Good talking to you again.
Yeah, now I've got to explain. Now, I've had, obviously, Tony on the podcast. I've had Peter on the podcast. So they're very much the guys, the paperwork guy, the paper pushers, they aren't they, really? You're the man on the ground down there in Indonesia doing the real work, Steve. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm the man lifting the weights, man.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, check out Steve's CV. You know, on Asia Met webpage. There, he's been around. He's done a lot of stuff, and very impressive track record. But so, first and foremost, though, Steve, today we've had results out. Now, can you explain what these results are? Because they're metallurgy results, and you know what significance they have, please, Steve, for the layman who doesn't understand this, like myself.
Yeah, sure. It's so today we've announced that we got some favorable results from the metallurgical test work that's ongoing, and that's being done in Australia at Core Laboratories. We've got like 20 columns down there, 12 short columns, which are 2 meters in height, and we've got 8 long columns, which are 6 meters in height. So basically, you put the rock, crushed up rock, inside those columns. Mm-hmm. And then you percolate acid through those, or it's called a raffinate, but it's basically it's an acid dominant fluid.
Yeah.
That goes through the columns and it leaches out the copper. And then you, after, you know, X amount of days, you can calculate basically what the recovery is by once you determine what the head grade is. So we've got some preliminary results on the leachable copper head grades. And then we were able to calculate the recoveries, and we got, we did 2 crush sizes. So there's 12.5 millimeter and 19 millimeter in each of the long and short columns. And basically preliminary results, we're seeing about 87% in the short columns with the 12.5 millimeter crush, 75% in the 19. And in the long columns, we got 72 and 73% for the 12.5 and 19. And just to note that we've only been going for 100 days, and these short columns run for 180 days, and the long columns go for 270 days. So we're real happy with the results today, Justin. Excellent stuff.
Yeah, so when you say you're happy with them, what does this mean? Does this mean it's what, economically viable? What does it mean in the broader picture here?
Well, it's further de-risking the project. If people would note back to what we did in the preliminary economic assessment, we used, I think, 85% recovery of leachable copper, and we've already exceeded that in the short column. So basically, what we assumed in the preliminary economic assessment, we're validating that information now. There's still, you know, quite a bit of time to go, so we're not sure where we're going to end up, but the results are looking very, very good so far.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, and as far as BKM is concerned now, where are you in regards to the feasibility study, and what are you going to do next, and what can we look forward to, and when does it all wrap up, Steve, at BKM, the feasibility study?
Yeah, look, we're probably halfway down the track now, maybe even a little bit further. We've got we're doing a lot of things right now with hydro. We got the environmental permitting, which we call the OMDEL, mine design scheduling, and we're doing this diagnostic assay program right now. Mm-hmm. That's all ongoing. Of course, everybody knows we're doing a resource update, and that's very close to being finished up. I suspect another 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks at the latest, that we'll get that done. The consultant that's doing that, it's actually coming in here tomorrow, and him and I are working on the geologic model, the resource model, and we're going to incorporate all the diagnostic work. And when I say diagnostic, basically we're determining what the leachable copper is throughout the ore body, so that we know every square meter how much leachable copper's in it. So it's or cubic meter, sorry. But it's running very well, Justin. I suspect we'll. Yeah, I think we'll finish up the feasibility by the end of the year, probably, you know, mid fourth quarter, and it's just a matter of getting the environmental license shortly after that, and away we go.
Okay, but from what you're seeing now, all the results coming in, what you saying this project is as impressive as you always thought it was would be, or is it still up there?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys look at the assay results that we've been pumping out. You know, we're getting very consistent results in the central part of the system. That's the BK 58 zone and the 44 zone. They're excellent, high grade. And then outside of that, we're getting exactly what we expected. And continuity's been marvelous from north to south, and we extended it, I think, a little bit too. So we're, it's looking really good. There's nothing in there that deters me from this project. It's just as fabulous as the day we got there. So
yeah. And as far as you're concerned, Steve, I know you've not been, you know, keeping yourself to the central area there. You've been out looking at BKW and BKZ as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of BKZ. I like what I see in the ground. We did some mapping recently. Mm-hmm. Collected a bunch of rock chips, took the rock saw, and what we did there is we used a gas-powered rock saw. We cut, basically, you're cutting almost like a drill hole, except it's horizontal, across the rock, and then you end up getting a very good representative sample of what the grade's going to be. And yeah, all those rocks are at the lab, and I expect results probably late this week or early next. And along with the drill results, we got a bunch more drill results coming in. The QAQC work has to get done, but again, I suspect they'll be able to release that data to the market very soon. So it's, it's all looking really good, man.
Yeah, when you say you like the look of BKZ, how soon can you tell if a project is good, and why do you like it?
Well, I like it for two reasons. One, the grades that the Munser did a few holes in it already. I mentioned this in some of the previous casts, and you know, he was getting 20% combined lead zinc. That's very high grade, and the thicknesses were quite good. Also, there's quite a bit of news coming out on zinc. For people that want to read about it, they go to the mining. There's a mining site that provides a good story on the zinc boom. And so I like the story. I like the commodity. I like the timing. And basically, with it being in only 500-600 meters away from BKM, it's a good piggyback project. So it's I'm really excited about that one. I can't wait to start drilling it.
I've got to say, I know nothing about the zinc market. I mean, can you summarize it? What's it all about? I mean, and how much? Obviously, is it too early to say? Is it too much down there?
Yeah, I couldn't estimate the tonnages, but the zinc market is quite good. You know, there's not much supply out there. Some of the largest mines have shut down, and so there's a shortage, and that's shown in the price. It's gone up quite a bit in the last year and a half. I think it's over 60%, if I'm correct. And I like the commodity, and I like it being in our property.
Yeah.
So it's of course I like copper better, because the copper story is even getting more interesting. I mean, we got China. They've just announced an infrastructure splurge. And the last time they did that, I think copper went up to $4.50 a pound. The electric car boom, that's faster than anticipated. Mm-hmm. Looked like they're going to need another anywhere 6 to 8 million tons per year of copper for those cars, because there's more than 90 kilograms in a copper. So, or in a car, sorry. We're set to reap the rewards.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It was last week there was announced in the news that China is building a new city. It's about 150 kilometers away from Beijing, and it's to help Beijing because with imports, exports, stuff, and just ease the traffic there and commuting. But they're going to say it's about three times the size of New York. And that will create a phenomenal amount of demand for copper, won't it?
Oh, just think about it. I mean, every place is going to have an air conditioner, refrigerator, copper piping. I mean, all the copper is going to be, it will be flooding into that place, man. And then I think they said it's going to reach peak construction in 2020, if I'm not wrong. And that's, that's right in our timeline. I mean, we expect to be in production. So, we're really looking forward to this. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, excellent. And Steve, one final thing. If people are listening right now, they like exactly the space you're in, the commodities you're talking about, and where you are in the cycle here of exploration development, and they're not following you on Vox Markets, could you give them sort of three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Yeah, the first and the most important is the team. You get quality guys running the project, Tony, myself, Peter, Mansoor. We're guys that have been in the game a long time. We don't play the market. We play to build mines, and that's what you need. You need people like that behind the project. Second is the project itself. You got to have good projects, something that's got legs, that's going to make a long run and go for the development stage. That's what we have. And then basically, you got commodity prices and timing. We're at the downturn of the sector, starting to go up, and this is the best time to build a mine cheap, and we're in great shape. So Asia Metsu will be on everybody's radar.
Steve, good to chat to you, fella, and hopefully speak again soon, because you said you're always churning out results at the moment. So hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much, Steve.
Thanks, Justin. Good talking to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Rod McIlree, CEO of Blue Jay Mining, and the ticker there is J-J-A-Y. Rod, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Good to be back again.
Yeah, and I've got to say, we've got a chat about this study undertaken by, I think it was, the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland. They've done over your area there and beyond, and phenomenal numbers there. We'll go through that in a bit, but first and foremost, Rod, for people not aware of Blue Jay Mining, could you give them a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Sure. Look, we're a company that's focused on Greenland and Finland. The reason we like Greenland is, it's a proper jurisdiction for minerals. It's a supportive government. The legislation is transparent and highly competitive, both on the fiscal and the sort of the environmental and social aspects. We're well established up there. We feel we've got a competitive advantage, having been there for 10 years. So it's a good spot.
Okay, so the news out today is this Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland. And take us through some of the figures, because some of the top-line figures are mind-blowing. Obviously, the area they're covering is not everything Apache you own, but still, it's still significant for you. Could you take us through some of the figures and the significance, please, Rod?
Sure. Well, look, I mean, the reason that the Danish Geological Survey, or the Greenland Danish Geological Survey, decided to undertake this really is about their overall support of the evolution of the Greenlandic mining industry. Geas have been functional in Greenland for decades and decades and decades. And it comes back to, you know, this concept that Pitufik was originally discovered in 1916 by this same institution. So I guess it follows logically that the Danes, on the back of our good work, would then lever off that and produce what is really a province-level review. I mean, it is a very unique geological environment, this one. And as I said in the RNS, I think in the coming years, the world is going to recognise the opportunities that this project and this broader region represent.
Okay, so take us through, though, some of the numbers here, Rod, because it is, you know, big numbers, aren't they?
Well, look, this is one of the beautiful things about the Danish Geological Survey, generalised as such, but they do very high-quality work, and they do it to, you know, the nth degree, and it's reflected in that report, you know. This is a very well-researched piece of scientific literature that has identified this province-level project been of a similar large nature, so it sort of comes as no surprise. But basically, what it basically is a high level view of the total contained ilmenite in a similar way as to what the iron ore provinces initially would have looked like. We have a license over the highest grade and the largest volume part of the known sand or sedimentary accumulations. But the total numbers, I mean, there's 17 billion tonnes of total contained ilmenite in the province, and 7 billion tonnes have been mechanically eroded for exploitation. Now, that's not to say that all occurs on the company's licences. There are other accumulations of sand in the area. We've looked at them all, and we're comfortable that we have the highest grade and the highest volume bits, but you know, the license, our license, as it says in the initial findings, there could be up to 700 million tons of pure ilmenite in our sedimentary accumulations. So, I mean, these are, you compare these numbers to anyone else in the space, and I mean, these are very interesting, findings.
Interesting, absolutely. So, just to sort of get people, you know, on track here. So where are you with this project at the moment, Rod?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously we've been working on this for a number of years, and I think now what we have done earlier this year, we put out our maiden resource. That has now facilitated the completion of a number of work streams that have been underway for quite some time. We intend to lodge an application for exploitation at the end of this year. I think that, you know, the permitting of this project should be fairly straightforward. It's not controversial. It's not a large environmental footprint. We started the engagement process with the government. You can sort of see the details of that on the government website up there. So, you know, the key moving forward is customer acceptance, and, you know, that's where we're focused. So you'll be hearing more on that in the coming months.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, can you just reiterate, you know, your mineral resource estimate so far?
Okay, well, we're starting on a 15 million tonne of very high-grade material at about 15%. That's enough to get us going in the early part of it. We will be increasing this broader resource this season, but that high-grade pod is housed within a larger 20-plus million tonne at a slightly lower grade, 8.8%, which is, again, encapsulated in a much larger exploration target for that particular part of the raised beach, of which is only 17% of the total surface area we have on the raised beach. So our initial resource is only one fraction of what I think we can expect to be coming over the next couple of years. But certainly there'll be a resource update on the back of this year's good work. And again, I think you'll probably see something coming from Interlaken and that marine environment as well. Interlaken, in many ways is the main event here, but because of the geographical and the infrastructure benefits of starting at Moorasack and the implicit cost saving to starting where there is already established housing and power and communications and the natural harbour, it just makes more sense. But Interlaken has always been the one that everybody looks at and, with raised eyebrows. We'll get to that eventually.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Rod. Well, listen, the market looks like it's taking this in a positive light. Of course, why wouldn't it be? There's phenomenal figures and numbers there. But for people not following you on Fox and the sound of this, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Well, I think we're really starting to get some traction now. We're sort of working on the offtakes. We've got a big field season coming out this year in terms of news and deliverables. Metallurgical side of business continues to indicate that the product is of a premium quality. So I think that all three of those will fold into some really good developments as we move forward over the next 6 months.
Rod, good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again very soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. All right, good. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, as it's a Monday, is the man, the Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah, very welcome. It's Justin, yourself?
Yes, I'm good. Yeah. And apparently this week, Malky, it's going to be a hot one. The hottest of the year, apparently, up to 30 degrees this year. So I can imagine you sitting there in your Bermuda shorts and your matching Hawaiian top and just looking at all the oil stocks.
Well, I will be, and then I'm off on holiday for a few days, so how nice will that be?
Yeah, very nice. Well, it's one of those things, hopefully, Malky, you'll have a warm week this week, and then when it starts to rain, you'll be off on holidays then. And it's always nice to be abroad when it's raining back home, isn't it?
I know, it's funny that, isn't it? We have a sort of schadenfreude on our friends and family back home, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, well, if I come home after a holiday and I've come back, and they said, what was the weather like here? They said, it was lovely. I feel like I've wasted my money going on holidays. I think I just stayed here. Okay, yeah, exactly. So that's why we go on holidays. Right, Marky, what are we looking at today?
Well, obviously, the big story at the end of last week was Pantheon Resources, PANR. And the market had been waiting for a very long time for this announcement. In fact, the market, to a certain extent, I think, had braced itself for bad news, that they had two wells drilling in East Texas, and we knew that one of them, there had been a specific problem due to the liner hanger. No one knew quite what was going to happen there, and the other one was a silica problem. So when they announced on Friday afternoon, I mean, it was a very odd time to put an announcement out, sort of Friday late lunchtime, and I feared the worst when I sort of clicked on it. But actually, the news is incredibly good, despite the intense problems that they've had on an operational basis on these wells. So the VOBM4 well, which is the well where, as they were going down, they encountered the Wilcox. So you'll understand that their primary target is in this one is the Eagleford sandstone, and they encountered Wilcox gas on the way down, which they weren't expecting, but it is very prolific in other parts of Texas. So it was most exciting, and at that stage, of course, they were they decided to try and test the Wilcox and see if they could complete in it to produce the Wilcox, then go on to the Eagleford sandstone later. so what's happened is that this is where they had immense problems with the liner hanger, and they couldn't complete the well. What they've decided to do is to go back up the well and come down and do a sidetrack. But effectively, they have found so much gas in the Wilcox that this has got what they call outstanding potential. If they've got Wilcox gas in this well, then there'll be a very good chance that they'll produce Wilcox gas in other wells. Mm-hmm. But they're sidetracking this one and going down. And then, of course, they've still got to get to the primary target, which is the Eagleford sandstone. So that one looks pretty fine just at the moment, despite the operational problems. And the operational problems were in existence on VOBM2 as well. where there was wellbore damage, silica problems, all sorts of things, and they had no help at all from local service companies, I gather, where there were there's been so many redundancies and cutbacks in local service companies that they, you'd have thought it would be easy to find people and kit, but that's just not the case.
Yeah.
But I think that with the wellbore damage, they'll be able to complete this in the upper tier of the well, and they'll probably do an acid job or a frack, and it won't be a big frack job, it'll be a modest frack job, and it'll come out very similar to the VOBM1 well, which isn't very far away, and of course the nearby AA wells as well. So what you've got from all that lot is, despite the operational problems, things are looking pretty good, and as a result, they have tied up a deal with Kinder Morgan, which is the biggest pipeline company in the US, and they're going to build a 15 million scf's of gas processing plant, where VOBM 1, 2H, we just talked about, and 3 will be able to produce, and we're expecting something like, I think potential 1.6 million scf's net to them. And therefore, that'll be underway pretty much straight away. And they're saying that they could be producing into there by August, September, say it's September, at one of the lowest costs in the US oil industry of sub $5 a barrel, oil equivalent, that is. So you've got a situation whereby they've got $4.7 million in cash at the moment, which means they're fully funded for whatever they do. So, the continuation of this well and so on will be is very much paid for. And then by the autumn, they'll be producing, 1.6 million dollars a month net, which will mean that that's extremely good news for them. And they'll be ongoing, so they'll be continuing to drill for the Eagleford, but also looking for the Wilcox, and of course they've got several thousand acres of licensed land around here where they could they might well be able to produce from the Wilcox. So that's incredibly good news. And the best news of all, of course, is that after all these problems operationally, there's been no change to the reserves number. They've got prospective resources of 159 million barrels equivalent. And I think that subject to the company's having a big conference call at 10 o'clock this morning, so hopefully nothing will have changed too much from what I'm saying now. But they've got a strong board out there, particularly the guys who work out there, who I'm very happy with. They've also got an independent non-executive director called Philip Gobe, who is extremely experienced and one of the best guys I've ever met in the area. And I'm glad to hear that he's still very much on board and believes the story. You know the cost of this. You know how much you're going to get for it. You're at the low end of the per barrel costs. You've decided to go ahead with a gas processing plant, so you're going to start getting money in the autumn. I think this is, it's been two or three months or several months of concern that operationally things are going badly and they wouldn't be able to produce. We now know that they will be producing, and that's incredibly good news. I think therefore the story is still very much intact. Shares are up a little bit this morning. They went up 20-odd percent, yeah, on Friday afternoon after the news. There's been quite a substantial short position in this one, Justin. Several million shares, which is unusual for a stock like this. And it's always, Pantheon has always had its sort of people have a love-hate relationship with it. Some brokers don't like it. There are some shorts out there who feel it's all going to go horribly wrong. Even those who are sort of believers like me have had our confidence to a certain extent tested. by the operational disaster zone that it's been. But they've come out of it what looks like okay. And they, you know, they've still got the Eagleford to go for. They've got the Wilcox, and they'll be producing from the two well pretty soon. So
yeah, well, if the chart's anything to go by, I'm no expert, you never call a bottom, but it looks like we've seen the worst of the share price fall, because that big rise on Friday and today up a little bit, you know, puts them above where previous lows. So hopefully, we may see a stabilisation here, maybe a gradual rise, you know, towards that.
I would have thought so. I mean, when things were going enormously well and the share price probably overran itself, you know, it was, you know, the biggest performer, if you remember, from the year, you know, the year before, and still a good performer last year, but you know, it ran up very quickly. At that stage, when I was looking at the numbers, I had a valuation, a target price of 200p. I've never taken that away because I thought that if it works, it'll work very well. Mm. And there's no doubt that isn't possible. Yeah, it could easily still be possible, that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to change it, certainly for the time being. Let's see how it goes. It's extravagant target, but at the moment I'm happy to stick with it.
Okay, cool. And anything else, Malky?
Yeah, I just wanted a quick word on FAR, F-A-R, which is Australian quoted. I do get a lot of emails saying it's difficult to buy in the UK, but I know that a lot of people have been able to buy it. Just to recap, this is the way to play the Cairn big discovery in Senegal. The bottom line here is that, you know, they keep announcing successful wells. And last week, Cairn announced another successful well, the SNE-6, a well in Senegal, which is their ninth consecutive successful well. The big thing here was to try and see if they could increase the numbers yet again by proving connectivity between SNE-5 and SNE-6. And it was incredibly good in the upper reservoir. The oil quality, flow rates were good, through various different choke sizes, and the oil quality was very similar. So we know that we're pretty much tucked up there for connectivity. I think they're going off to drill the Fan South 1 well, which will target another 100 million barrels or more. There's huge potential for this field. Even Wood Mackenzie have said that it's one of the biggest discoveries for many a year. It could be 2 billion barrels here. Cairn went up on the news, but FAR didn't really. And this is one of the sort of ones where people have just yet to uncover the potential that's in FAR. It had a raise a few weeks ago, so it raised $80 million Aussie, and could have raised a lot more. It's completely financed for whatever the operating joint venture team might throw at it. They're planning to submit a field development plan to the government in 2018. So we're only a few months away from that potential, which means that, you know, as they continue to evaluate the size of the field, the only thing that hasn't happened is that FAR hasn't taken advantage of the run in the shares that even Cairn has done. And the market just hasn't worked it out yet. Yeah. I've seen a couple of brokers' reports from Australia in the last couple of days. People are sort of priming their clients for it. So at 8.5 or whatever it is cents, I think that it's the way to play this discovery. The potential for upside is huge. I've got 25 cents in there for this company, as it happens. I think that, you know, although, you know, it's good to see Cairn operating this play at the moment, and they're doing very well, as they should. But the cheap way into it is through FAR.
Okay, that's listed on ASX under the ticker FAR, FAR. Okay, Mark, excellent stuff. Thanks for that, fella. Have a nice week. Speak next week, hopefully, unless you're away, are you?
It won't be next week, mate, because I'm on holiday and it's a bank holiday.
Oh, yes. It's a bank holiday. Yeah, exactly. So two reasons why we won't speak. Yeah. So speak the week after, Malky.
Okay, mate. Take care. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Blenheim Natural Resources, that's BNR. At four, Challenger Acquisitions, CHAL. Had a little punt on those, still hold them, doing quite well. Asia Met Resources, just spoke to Steve from Asia Met earlier on. Ascent Resources, they're always there, AST. And number one is pretty much bagged from last week, I think, and going very strongly today. Last time I looked, it was 50% up. It's Echo Energy. See? Ticker there is Echo. All right, here's the top five most liked RNSs today. At five, it's Forbidden Technology, FBT, debut in new high-growth esports market. At four, Karas Resources, interim results, that's KRS. At three, Providence Resources, PVR, that's Southern Porcupine Basin's license update. At two, 88 Energy, Icewine 2 operations update. Our number one most liked RNS was from Asia Met, which was the positive metallurgical test work results. And I spoke to Steve earlier on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.